Welcome to All Bodies on Bikes, the podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides should be celebrated.
All Bodies on Bikes is a movement to create and foster a size-inclusive bike community. So join your hosts. I'm Maggie.
And I'm Marley.
As we explore the complexities of the biking world, help us break down barriers and create the world that we want to see. And don't forget that all bodies really means all bodies, not just larger bodies, but bodies of all sizes, ages, races, abilities, genders, sexualities, and beyond.
Come along for the ride. Welcome back to the All Bodies on Bikes podcast. We have a really special edition today. I am sitting in New York City in a hotel room in my pajamas with my guest, which I can't say that very often, but I have a very close relationship with our guest today, and it's Kaylee Kornhauser, our co-founder of All Bodies on Bikes and our board president. Welcome to the show, Kaylee.
Hi, thank you for having me in my pajamas.
Yeah, thanks for being willing to wake up and record a podcast like right away. So let's set the scene a little bit. What the heck are we doing in New York right now?
We are here because we just did the Five Boroughs bike tour, and we also had the opportunity to lead a ride through the city with our wonderful New York chapter of All Bodies on Bikes. So we have had quite the weekend.
Quite the weekend. And that was so fun. And let me say for the record, I did not think that a city ride, an All Bodies on Bikes city ride through Manhattan was going to work. When I test rode it, I was like, what are we doing? But it worked.
It totally worked. And it was like really, really fun.
It was. It was really fun. I don't know if I'd do it again.
Maybe annually.
Maybe annually. maybe annually. But we got really lucky. And actually, this happens a lot with the folks that come to our rides is people genuinely care about each other.
Yes.
And they help us lead it. And, you know, we had one guy on a cargo bike helping cork for us without even asking. We had some folks from Cleveland helping out with the ride leading. It just went remarkably well.
Yeah, everybody was so respectful. There was an ambulance at one point. We were on a narrow road, and immediately everybody got over and was quiet and so respectful. It's just like really nice to see, because it does, you know, there's three of us leaders out there, but with 25 or so riders, it takes everybody working together. So that was like, that was just wonderful.
Yeah, it was like the icing on the cake. And then, like, you know, we rode to packet pickup, and surprisingly, most folks on the ride were also doing the Five Borough tour. Yes. And so we got our packets, and then people were like, well, what now? We want to keep hanging out, which I feel like is just like such a sign for like the community that
so
we cultivate.
Great. Yeah. And then every single person on the group ride rode together on a route that Marley and I did not plan, that somebody on the ride took it upon themselves to make a route and then keep the whole group together, and every single person went to get lunch together.
It was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. New York is magical. Also, like, in what other city can you bring 25 people to like a random bar in Greenwich Village on a Saturday afternoon and get food and get drinks and have a safe place for bikes? And like,
it was awesome.
Yeah. This place just like, I don't know, New York delivers.
We're big fans of New York.
We are. I don't want to live here.
Have you guys heard about New York?
It's this really cool place. You should.
It's up and coming.
You should visit sometime. But honestly, though, like riding bikes in New York, like my first day here, my anxiety was really high. And then, like, once you get into the flow of it, of like, you know, yeah, traffic signals are more of a suggestion, and there's a lot of other people on the roads, but there is like, there's an ebb and a flow to it, and it just kind of works.
It does.
Yeah.
Definitely got to be aware. Be safe, but it works.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Well, let's talk about the Five Borough Tour a little bit before we get too into. Today is actually really cool. We're going to open the curtains to our organization a little bit. Before, I don't want to get too much into it, but All Bodies on Bikes is actually a nonprofit, and the podcast is part of our programming that we do. And so we're going to kind of open the curtains on the work that the org is doing, and some of our plans for the future and some of the things to look forward to. But before we do that, let's talk about the Five Borough Tour. What was your favorite part?
Oh my gosh. I mean, riding in that big of a group of people and just like the road is absolutely full. There were 35,000 people and it's like as far as the eye can see, it's packed with people. And then I think my favorite part was when we were below bridges and you could just look up at the bridge and see that the bridge was completely full of other bikers.
Yeah, like the Verrazano Bridge.
Yeah, like, it's like hard to fathom how many people are on bikes. And I always think like, what if cars didn't exist and bikes just like, this was just like, I mean, it wouldn't be that many people, but this is just like how it was. And yeah. Bikes were just like all over. We wouldn't also have these massive roads, but I digress.
I mean, we would have them. What if cars just went away tomorrow?
That's kind of what it feels like, is that cars went away. I loved riding through Central Park.
That was cool. Like,
was a highlight. Yeah, just so fun. What was your favorite part?
I'm trying to remember where exactly it was at. I think it was after we dipped into the Bronx for a real hot minute and then came back into Manhattan and there was a tunnel.
Yes.
And when we got into the tunnel, everybody was like hooting and hollering. And I just had the biggest smile on my face because it just felt so... I just felt so connected to other people.
Yeah, I thought the same. Like every time you go through a tunnel on a bike, no matter who you are, you shout or you ding your bell, which is so funny. Like we all do that.
It was just like, I don't know, there were people of all stripes and sizes and bike experience. And I felt a little bad watching people. Like there were some decent climbs. Like I think over 40 miles, we did almost like 1,500 feet of climbing. And lots of folks aren't familiar with how to shift gears.
Yeah.
And it took a lot in me to not be like, shift, 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 make your life easier. But people climbing in the hardest gear. And,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely learning opportunity. It was those bridges. They're big hills.
But also just like a good reminder that like, I don't know, this is where the people are at.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about a little bit and just like so surprised that the industry isn't more involved with these community events. Like, I think about like the marathon, like the Boston Marathon or the LA Marathon, and how the big brands are out there representing and there with the people. And this was 35,000 people. And the only brands we really saw was Kryptonite and Cleverhood and Bivo.
Yeah.
It was a
couple of the rack companies.
Yeah.
Some folks were here, but not a lot.
Yeah. I just think about the opportunity to like get into the bag beforehand or to offer neutral support, like so many people out here, and instead I see the same brands at the same gravel events with the same people over and over again.
Yeah.
I just wish
we're saturated.
I wish the industry would wake up and come to some of these other events, but
us too.
Yeah
we're working on it.
Oh, you mean us, like All Bodies on Bikes too?
Yeah, like we're working on it. That's why we're here.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's talk about it a little bit. So do you want to give like a brief rundown of the history of the org?
Yeah. Okay. So the origin story, Marley and I met back in 2018, maybe started to give talks. We'd both been working independently on size inclusion work, but started to give talks together by 2019. In 2020, we started filming All Bodies on Bikes, and which is the name of our film by Shimano. We didn't necessarily envision like an organization by the same name. I think in the film, we start, and honestly, on the ride that we're filming, started to like brainstorm what would group rides look like? Like, what if there were group rides across the country, like that were size inclusive and felt like a safe place for everybody to come? But it wasn't like, let's start a nonprofit. Like that wasn't like,
it was not in the cards.
And so, we both had like full-time jobs. We were like, living our regular lives. But then when the film came out, there was just so much community support for the idea. It felt like, it almost felt like inevitable, like we had to do some type of organizing around it. And so, I mean, really, this story's a lot yours, Marley, that you left your full-time job to make this thing happen.
Yeah. Well, and even at that point, it wasn't intended to be a nonprofit.
No.
Because you and I were both fully aware of the work that comes with a nonprofit.
Yeah. And we didn't know if that was the right structure for us, I think. I mean, I'm happy we took our time to figure that out.
Same.
But after the first Steamboat Team, really, which was few
August
years ago.
August 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had so many folks at that point that were really invested in All Bodies on Bikes as an organization, like more than just, oh, you know, I support you, you too. They wanted to be involved, that it made sense to start, you know, I think at that point we might've called it like a leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
And that group met for a long time before we actually, you know, went ahead and did the work to become a nonprofit, which we now have officially been a nonprofit for 1 year.
Yeah.
So happy birthday to us. We went to an anniversary dinner.
We did. And it was rather unfortunate. It was just like,
yeah, the food was, the food, company was great.
The company was great. The food was subpar. But yeah, I think about it because like when we were organizing, it became quickly evident that what we were doing is way more than social rides.
Yes.
You know, we started thinking about the projects and the goals, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. It was like, we need structure. We're going to need some project management. We're going to need some prioritization. We're going to need funding.
Yep.
And then it was like, let's make this a nonprofit.
Yeah, it just made sense. And so we've been really building this thing for many years, but as a nonprofit for the last year. And so it's exciting that we now have a strategic plan that's out. We have a board. We've got a leadership team. We've got people who know lots of stuff about organizations that Marley and I don't know, like budgeting and grant writing, things that are not parts of our natural skill sets. And so we have like an absolutely wonderful team of people. We've got our chapters. And so, yeah, we're going to talk about that today.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it a little bit. So we just released our first strategic plan. And let's talk about the development of that a little bit. And listeners, I swear this isn't going to be boring because we got some really fun stuff in there. But if I heard a podcaster being like, let's talk about strategic plan, I'd be like, okay, next. Please stick around. So Kaylee is like an expert facilitator. And so our board and people that work with us are spread all across the country. So almost all of this was done remotely. And you want to walk us through how we got to our priorities and what we're going to talk about here in a minute?
Yeah. So we totally opened everything back up. You know, when we went into our strategic planning, Marley and I had made a mission, vision, value statements before we became a nonprofit, but we wanted to start from scratch since we had a whole new board. And so what we did is that we had these really long strategic planning sessions on Zoom that probably I was the only person who was excited about because my professional job is as a facilitator, mostly doing strategic planning.
You made it fun for us.
Thank you.
I was legitimately dreading it. I was like, oh, so many better things I could be doing on this Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it was on the weekend.
And then we got through it and I was like, oh, I'm really excited about this.
It was, yeah, it's very like exciting and it gives you energy to like be a part of that. So we started with our mission, vision, values, and, you know, got everybody's input in dialogue, and then that became those. And then we went on to our SWOT analysis. So
what is SWOT?
SWOT, strengths, weakness, opportunities, and threats. For those coming from corporate America, that probably sounds very familiar. But that's a chance for us to look inside and look outside. So look within ourselves and think, what are our strengths and weaknesses as an organization? And then look outside of the organization and say, okay, what are the threats and opportunities for us as an organization? And that is what we did before we set our goals, before we thought about our action planning, so that we could really set the tone for what our goals should be, what we need to work on, what we're already doing well, and like what is realistic for us to build over the next few years.
Was there anything in that SWOT analysis, and I'll answer too,
yeah,
that stands out to you?
Yeah, I was, so, you know, because Marley and I, you and I, Marley and I, we're here anyway.
It's all good.
Because
Marley
we,
and me.
Marley and me, that's what I always say. Because we are gravel bikers, that's like our favorite thing, and because a lot of the people that joined the organization came through our gravel team, we've been very gravel focused. And that might also be because that's where cycling is right now, is that it's very gravel focused. But I for a long time have been concerned about that focus, and I was really pleasantly surprised to hear the rest of the board echo those concerns too. Like, I thought I was going to have to kind of push against everybody and be like, what about community events? Like, what about road rides, you know, charity rides? And it wasn't like that at all. I was surprised by how on the same page we all were.
Yeah.
Which felt really good.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. I was nervous because, you know, we talked about from the very beginning, we didn't want this to be the Marley and Kaylee show.
Yeah.
And I thought like that was going to come up a whole lot more. I'm really sensitive to feedback and to perceived criticism. And it did come up, but in a very gentle and loving way.
Yeah.
Of just like, you know, people might recognize me, but not the brand. And so I was really just so grateful for our team for the way that it was done.
Well, I wonder if that's, you
I
might
think it's
see
both
that
a strength
as,
and a,
yeah,
and
I think it's a strength.
Weakness. Yeah.
I think so. I think most people see it more as a strength than maybe you do. So
I guess I'm just, yeah, I don't know. It makes me nervous.
Yeah, it's definitely, well, we talked about a couple different kind of threats, like, okay, we want to be a sustainable organization. It takes more than just a couple people being, you know, noticed. It takes structure. It takes, like, all, what does it take to keep this thing going and make sure that people continue to feel included in biking events, not just gravel events, you know? So we did, we really, I was impressed by how able we were to critique ourselves, but also celebrate our successes.
Yeah, yeah. So with SWAT done, then we started getting into the action planning. And this was kind of the fun thing. If you could imagine, you know, if we were in person, there would have been a million post-it notes up on a wall. And then we would have done like value voting.
Yes.
But we did it virtually. And
yes.
Do you remember, what were some of the things that rose to the top?
Yeah, well, before we get there,
yeah, please.
If you don't mind, I'll take a step back because we did one more boring thing before we did the action planning, which was,
I don't even remember it. It was so boring.
We did our goal setting. Oh, yeah. And so I do want to just say our goals because I think they're really great.
Yes.
So we came up with three goals, broad goals, and they were, the first one is to build a joyful cycling community. And so our action for that was that we have our local chapters, so like our regional programming, and then we have our national programming.
And let's come back to chapters here in a minute, because one of the biggest questions we get is chapters. How do I start a chapter?
Yeah.
Why isn't there one in my town? Blah, blah, blah. So pin
we'll
in that
back.
And we're going to come back to that.
And then our second goal was to create a cultural shift in cycling. And so we do that by working with industry. And we also do that by working with our community and making sure that there's resources and support for our community. And then our third goal is to sustain our own efforts. And so this is probably the most boring to everybody, but this is like what something that's very important is that we have our financial stuff in order. So grants, budgets, taxes as an organization. And then we also have a goal to do some organizational development. So just things like even how we store our files, project management. So really like the day-to-day stuff that keeps all of our exciting programming going. So that was our work on all the lead up to the action plan. We did all of that stuff that kind of feels detached from reality. And then we got to our action planning. So I think, Marley, if you want, we can go to chapters now.
Yeah, let's talk about chapters. So we currently have 13 chapters. Some are more active than others. I'm not going to try and list all of them because I will inevitably miss some. but let's talk about growth planning.
Yeah.
Because that's what the people want to hear.
Yeah.
So why don't we have 50 chapters?
We have been very conservative, only in this aspect, in our approach.
I'd say with risk management, we've also been conservative.
Yes, we have been conservative around risk and around growth because we really want to make sure that our chapters feel supported, that we're leading rides in a safe way. We have to consider liability. There's all these things that come into play. And when we first launched our chapters, we actually brought all of the chapter leaders to Bentonville, Arkansas, where we had a 4-day, you know, training and team building, and we talked safety, we talked appropriate ride leadership.
We talked a lot about size inclusion.
We did. And so we want to make sure that as we grow chapters, we are supporting them just as much as we support the first original chapters, and that we're growing in places where they really need chapters and where it makes sense and it's going to be sustainable. So we are planning to grow chapters for those that have been asking. And we're going to take a kind of scaled approach. So this first year of growing chapters, we're just going to start with, you know, 3 to 5 new chapters. But then as the years go, we're going to start to add more. So I'm looking at our slide on growing our chapters. And so we say that in 2025, we'll shoot to get 5 new chapters. And then in the next 2 years, we'll add 10 chapters each year. So you can see, like, we're starting small, but we'll start to add more and more. And the goal is to have something like 50 chapters,
yeah,
or even more if it calls for it. Like, we want to get to that point, but right now we want to make sure that we train people, we've got resources available, and we're doing this responsibly.
Yeah. And I just think about, you know, when we first started this thing, that was one of our biggest hesitations was, because you and I, whenever we would travel somewhere, we would lead a ride, but we didn't let other people, because, yeah. I mean, my biggest fear is that somebody's going to do a quote unquote all bodies on bikes ride, and then people are going to get left behind. They're going to be fat shamed. Just something negative is going to happen.
Totally.
And then our kind of the promise that we make of being truly inclusive won't be true.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally. So we don't want that to happen. And it's not happening at this point. We have just absolutely wonderful chapter leaders all across the country, and we want to keep it that way.
Yeah. And what I would say is that, you know, if you're hearing this and like, oh, I want to start one, send us an email, at info@allbodiesonbikes.com. Tell us about you, tell us about the riding scene, tell us what your plans would be for the chapter. You know, it's definitely helpful if you have multiple folks that could lead with you. Because if you try and apply, that sounds bad. If you come to us as a solo person, we're going to say, okay, you're going to need 3 to 4 other folks, because planning this takes time and effort. And we might be able to help you find those folks, but it's going to be easier if you already have a small community who is ready to take this on.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about chapter programming. So we make it pretty easy on our chapters. We ask them to do 4 events per year.
Yep.
And those can be 4 rides. They can be, I mean, obviously rides are the bread and butter of our organization. But we know that, like, Marquette, Michigan, they can't ride for a good part of the year, yeah, unless they get out fat biking, which I think they did. But, you know, winter is a real thing. So, like, one of our chapters recently did a recycled bike part art night. And so it can really run the gamut.
Yep.
Campouts. Denver did, like, a saddle workshop, saddle mm-hmm. and anatomy workshop. Do fix-a-flat workshops. There's all sorts of things. But really, it's about community building.
Totally. And one thing that we want to make sure we continue to do is that each chapter gets to choose the type of programming that works for their region and their community. So that's why we just require the 4 events a year. We don't specify what types of events that they are. Some chapters run a weekly ride, some stick to the 4. It's really whatever your community needs and is asking for.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, I'm like, oh my God, I had no idea all this was happening. allbodiesonbikes.com/events. We try and keep them updated there. And you can find out there. And unless specified, all of our events are always free. Sometimes we'll ask people to help cover the costs, like if we're going camping and need to pay for a campsite or firewood. But other than that, like,
yep,
free. And we try and specify who the ride is intended for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then our other, well, are we ready to move to national?
I think so. We are. Yeah.
So, our other big area of programming is our national programming. And for years, that has looked mostly like our Steamboat Gravel Team, which is a huge effort that multiple people pour tons of time and resources into, for us to bring 10 to 15 gravel riders out to Steamboat, Colorado, typically for their first gravel event. And we support them in a ton of different ways, with monthly calls, with lodging, with
helmets,
the whole thing. And then our other kind of wing of our national programming tends to be involvement at other events around the country. And largely that looks like Marley going around the country to different events, like all spring, summer, and fall long, on a long extended road trip. And fortunately for her and for the organization, lately that's meant more than just Marley.
Yes.
A small team of people going with expo gear. So we have, you know, a tent and a table, and we sit out there at these events and we spread the word about what All Bodies on Bikes is and how to get involved with chapters. We usually lead shakeout rides at gravel events, which is like a prep ride ahead of the event to make sure that your bike and body are feeling good. We have sometimes led community rides in the communities where the events are. So we do a decent amount of national programming. Am yeah. I missing any?
No, I'm just excited to talk about some of the industry facing work we're doing. Cause like yeah. the programming is exciting.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that's where the change is being made.
No.
Like that's where it's going to sound weird, but like, that's where community is being built and we're like winning hearts and minds.
Yeah.
But that's not getting additional equipment
yep.
for bigger bodied folks. That's not getting bigger clothing. That's not actually changing the landscape. And so I'm really jazzed up about the industry facing work that we've got going on.
Yes.
And I hope that doesn't sound bad that I'm like not excited about programming. I am excited about programming. But
yes.
Yeah.
Me too. So from day one of Marley and I doing this thing informally together, we have been working with the industry to educate, to talk about product design, to talk about, you know, clothing sizes and bike equipment. And the industry has been really receptive, even yeah. though, you know, industry is slow moving to make change, and not necessarily because the people don't want to make change, just because it's, you know, in Marley's past life and shipping logistics, like things take a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time, and companies have strategic plans, they have bottom lines, they have investors, they've got executives. There's just to come in and say, here's a whole new demographic that you need to be working with is challenging.
Yeah, but we've been pretty, you know, optimistic successful, and yeah, successful no. in working with industry to make changes, which has been, you know, it has to happen. It doesn't matter how great our community is if we don't have safe equipment and inclusive clothing sizes, and, you know, the list goes on. People can't access cycling, and so
yeah,
our goal isn't met if we don't do this work. And so I think we thought a lot about the different ways that we could create this industry facing cultural shift in cycling, and one that we're working on that's going to take a long time to develop, but we're committed to, is some type of training and certification for retail stores. So bike shops, you know, outdoor retailers, to get trained in body size inclusion and to get trained in the work of All Bodies on Bikes, be able to talk the talk, have the size, you know, inclusive sizing in their stores, have well-labeled bike weight limits on their equipment, and then we will in some way certify them. So this is a long ways out from yeah. being an official thing, but it's something that we are committed to doing.
Yeah. One of the things I'm most excited for in the next couple of weeks, the National Bicycle Dealers Association. So, you know, think about big brands, people who are actually selling the bikes, all the retailers, they have their annual conference actually in Bentonville, and they've invited me to come speak and do two workshops. And so we're going to really use this as a workshopping opportunity of what does the industry actually need to be able to serve our community better? You know, what questions are they getting? What is the landscape on the ground? And so I'm really, really excited yeah. about that, because I think a lot of folks come into activism or come into change making and say, we want to change X, Y, and Z, but it's not a two-way conversation. You know, it's just barging up to the door and saying, give us this, give us that, instead of asking, like, what challenges are you having meeting the needs of our community? You know, what would make your life easier? And so this workshop will help inform both resource guides and the training certification, whatever that's going to look like.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like so excited about that. And also it feels surreal that, like, you know, we set out these goals, and last year I was a keynote speaker, just like, hey, here's what we're doing. And this year we're actually doing the work. And it feels really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a lot has happened in just 1 year.
Yeah.
And I think our last interest, we won't bore people with the financial and organizational
except
details,
to say that you can donate to us, or if you have a grant, we would love to be informed on that.
Yes, that's a good plug. But
I'm a good executive director.
Yes, you are. We have our last part of the creating a cultural shift in cycling is the community facing part, and it's actually where this podcast fits into our strategic plan. And so the podcast, our website, there are some examples of the community facing resources that we are building out. We also have, for a long time now, Marley and I have taught this Biking for Big People class. We really want to make that class available all the time to people. Right now, it's kind of just like, we just put it on, I don't know.
Whenever
people ask for it. And we want to make sure that the resources are available to our community when they need them, that people can find out, you know, how do I look for a bike? What do I need to be concerned about? How do I find a saddle that feels comfortable? Those types of resources can be available on our website. So those things take time. It take budget. They take people, you know, committed to making them happen. It's part of our action plan that these things get built out, but I wouldn't say that, you know, expect to see them next month, but expect to see them, you know, in the coming months.
Yeah. Programming can be a little bit sexier and it can tend to take a little bit more precedent. Well, that was a really cool overview of the organization, and I hope that was helpful to folks and informative to folks. Lots of ways to get involved. I mean, the biggest way is just to show your support by wearing a kit, buying a t-shirt, buying some, I don't know if you can buy stickers right now. We should probably put some stickers up for sale on the website. or just make a donation. This is like a community funded thing. One thing we are working on is a membership program. So that would be a really cool way to get involved. But we have some behind the scenes work to do first. So in wrapping up, not entirely, but I want to do what we've been doing the past couple weeks and talk about some events that we've got coming up. Mm-hmm. So this episode is going to come out on May 8th. So if you're listening after that, apologies, but thanks for listening. So we've got some fun events coming up. Our Marquette chapter has their spring kickoff ride on Wednesday. So if you're listening that day, that ride is at 6 p.m. Our Denver and our Seattle chapters are both doing gravel rides. One of them is on Saturday, May 11th. They're both on Saturday, May 11th for both Denver and Seattle. And then really fun one out of Albuquerque. They've teamed up with a store called People and Planet Refill, and they're going to ride to Heidi's Ice Cream Shop.
Fun.
So I love ice cream. It's an ice cream ride. And then finally, Marquette, again, they've got a lot going on Friday, May 17th. They have a Friday morning coffee ride where they're going to meet up at 7 a.m. and go for a ride for coffee before getting the workday started.
Awesome.
Yeah. So people can always keep up to date with our events at allbodiesonbikes.com/events. We try and keep them updated there. Also, we're trying to do a better job about posting things on social media. So yeah, Kaylee, we ask all of our guests two questions. have you been asked this before?
I don't know. I was on the very first episode.
Okay. You probably weren't then.
Okay.
So what is something that you wish you got to talk about more besides bikes?
Well, in my day job, I work in natural resource collaboration, specifically helping communities prepare and reduce the risk of wildfire. And I facilitate these multi-jurisdictional groups to basically help them adapt to a changing climate.
Okay.
And build community resilience. And I don't talk about it that much outside of, you know, the 40 hours a week that I spend working on it. I don't talk about it a lot in my private life, but it's something I'm really passionate about, is helping communities build their ability to adapt to a changing climate by working together.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It explains why you're such a good facilitator, because it's what you do all the time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Marley.
I feel really lucky to have you as our board president.
Does that mean she also
runs the meetings, which is really nice. One of my anxieties, I don't like running meetings.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I like being in charge, but I'm always afraid that people are going to think I'm too bossy.
Oh my gosh. That's so, it's so funny because we did not like pick each other.
Yeah.
But we have very compatible skill sets, I think, which is just very fortunate and probably why this has worked for so long.
It's true. Yeah. And then our last question for you is, what does your ideal day look like outside?
Oh man. Honestly, it was Saturday. Degrees?
Whatever Saturday was.
I love a group ride. I love like 60 degrees. And I love a ride that's like moving slow enough that we can see the world around us and stops at some type of food where we just like share a laugh. And I also really love like a city ride where somebody has speakers. This might be an unpopular opinion, but I love to dance on my bike. So I'm a big fan of that. I think I'll go with that. Like a city ride with friends and music. That's not my answer every day, but it's my answer today.
I love that. Yeah. We had somebody on the ride, the guy in the bullet, and his speakers were loud. It was so fun rolling down the street, seeing people like on the sidewalk, like bopping along or dancing like smiling. Like, people on bikes, adults on bikes brings other people so much joy.
Yes. Kids on bikes brings me joy too.
That's true. Yeah. Same.
People on bikes.
Yeah. Well, Kaylee, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Lots more info at allbodiesonbikes.com and we would love your support. And if you're interested again in chapters, email us at info@allbodiesonbikes.com. Thanks for joining us.
This is an All Bodies on Bikes podcast powered by Feisty Media. The show is produced by Maggie and Marley and edited by the team at Feisty Media. Thanks for listening.
Think about everything you take with you on a bike ride. Snacks, tools, a spare tube. It all has to go somewhere, and sometimes your jersey pockets just aren't the right choice. That is where Fierce Hazel comes in. Fierce Hazel is designed to help get you outside, and they make sustainable bike bags for epic adventures. Fierce Hazel is a woman-led accessory brand who makes eco-friendly bike accessories, including ultralight riding pouches, bike wallets, backpacks, and bike bags. Their products are durable, functional, and uniquely designed so you can worry less and experience more. Fierce Hazel is offering All Bodies on Bikes listeners 20% off. That's right, 20% off. Just use the code ALLBODIES at checkout. Go to fiercehazel.com/discount/allbodies for 20% off your purchase. And, you know, honestly, one of the best things about Fierce Hazel is that their products are designed for all types of cyclists. Whether you're a recreational rider or a racer or a bike packer or somewhere in between, they've got a product that will definitely meet your needs. All of their accessories are lightweight, durable, and rainproof, and they're made with sustainability at the forefront. So you can expect lots of upcycled products and really well thought out designs. Again, check out Fierce Hazel today and use a special discount code ALLBODIES for 20% off your purchase. Go to fiercehazel.com/discount/allbodies for 20% off your purchase. Thanks for being a great supporter of the show, Fierce Hazel. Are you ready to embrace your inner Tifosi? Picture this, you fully immersed in your passion with clarity and style. That's what Tifosi Optics is all about. Tifosi, derived from the Italian word for superfan, creates eyewear for those who live and breathe their passions. The superfans, if you will. And now they're inviting you to join the ranks. With Tifosi's innovative design, you can live your passion like never before. Their Glide technology ensures a snug, bounce-free fit, while the integrated hinge makes them a breeze to wear without snagging your hair. All their glasses are crafted from shatterproof polycarbonate with lenses that are more than just stylish accessories. They're your shield against glare and scratches, offering unparalleled eye protection for whatever adventure throws your way. And for those intense moments when the sweat starts to pour, fear not. Tifosi's hydrophilic rubber nose pads increase grip, ensuring your glasses stay put through every twist and turn. Are you ready to take the plunge? Head on over to tifosioptics.com. That's T-I-F OSIOptics.com and use the code FM20 for an exclusive 20% off your order. That's FOSIOptics.com, code FM20. So don't just watch from the sidelines. Embrace your inner Tifosi and live your passion with Tifosi Optics.